Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, talk. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Yeah, that's me, and I'm having a blast. The only problem is, how in heaven's name am I going to get it all in? There's just so much going on. And I need like 4, 5, 12 hours to tell you all the stuff that is in my head. So I don't get to do that. Nobody does. Well, this is Karen Cataline, delighted to be with you. I'm glad you're with me. And there is a lot going on. I want to tell you about the show that we have planned. I get to spout off for roughly a half an hour. And boy, if I can't find something to spout off about these days, then something's wrong and I shouldn't be doing this. In our second half hour, I am pleased and delighted to have with me as my guest live Ted Harvey, who is a former state senator and state legislator in Colorado, but he's also started an organization called the Committee to Defend the President. Now, if you don't think that's necessary in times like this, you ain't watching. And I bet you are watching. You're watching, you're listening, you're paying attention. And part of what we fight is that a lot of the people who need to be, who ought to be paying attention, aren't. So that's where grassroots people come in, because you got to speak out to your friends, to your family. I know it's a little tough at Thanksgiving and all of that, but you have a circle of influence, and never has that circle of influence that you have been more important, because people need to know the kind of lies, the kind of, there's a Yiddish word. You know, I have non-Jewish friends who call it shenanigans. And by the way, I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. So my friend Randy calls it shenanigans. And in Yiddish, we call it mishigas, which means mischief making. And there's so much of it going on today. I can't wait to get to it. So I'm going to get to it. There is a theme today, and it's called fighting back. Everything we're going to talk about today has to do with what kind of mishigas is going on here and how are we going to fight back. So let's start with the first thing. And everybody's talking about this. I just didn't even want to watch that Trump Putin press conference, because I already heard before I saw the press conference, the liberals jumping up and down with their hair on fire. Anderson Cooper, the Daily News, they always march and speak in lockstep, and their hair is on fire, absolutely on fire. They're horrified that a president would, at a press conference in Helsinki, say that the American Justice Department may not be trustworthy. Well, if you think it is, you just may not be paying attention, and you are. So they've lost their minds again. They've just lost it. And it's so highly suspicious, because it's always the usual suspects who are screaming and yelling and carrying on. Unfortunately, many of them, some of them Republicans doing so. So I'm going to save some of my questions and comments for Ted Harvey, because he heads up an organization called the Committee to Defend the President. So we're going to talk about some of the attacks on the president. And again, I'd need 6 hours to talk about it, because these people never let up. They never quit, and they never will. I mean, it's astounding that anybody would pay attention to them with the amount of bias and the amount of vitriol that that is thrown at this president, thrown this president's way. It is, it's extraordinary. And after all, I'm shocked, I tell you, that these people could possibly be outraged by our president. Why, they're just trying to be fair. Never mind that they completely ignore the treason going on right in our own country. And suddenly they feign outrage at not allowing our differences to go past our shores. And yet that's all they've ever done. And this kind of hypocrisy, this kind of frustrating behavior that we watch that usually is reserved for five-year-olds, well, we're seeing it in the public square now. And so the question is, how do you fight back against all of that? Other than having your own head explode, which is not a good idea because then you can't fight back very well if your head is in pieces on the ground. So the question is not only how do you fight back, but what's effective? What is effective? So we are going to be talking about that in much greater detail and a lot more about Ted Harvey's organization. He's a fascinating character. I've known him for quite a while, and I think we have the mutual admiration society. There you go. That's what it is. So I'll save a little of that for him because there's just tons to go on. But meanwhile, before Trump went to Helsinki, and because there's so much going on, I think that the best entertainment I've seen in forever, I mean forever, took place right before Trump left. Because now on the front page, you know, it's a whole nother story and another new outrage. And yeah, we'll talk about it. But what is so funny to me is that so little time is given to things because so much is going on. So we had the Peter Strzok hearings, which took place, the beginning of the week. It feels like it was weeks ago. And it was, I'm telling you, I love reality TV. I love live PD. I cannot tell you how much I love live PD because it's the un-Hollywood. Now you're wondering, what is she talking about? Get back to Peter Strzok. But I will, I promise. live PD, what makes it the un-Hollywood is because it's the unvarnished truth of what cops go through out there in the community. And every Friday and Saturday night, if you've never seen this show, it is a stitch. I've even had one of the cops on there on an AM talk radio show, and I was such a fan. The reason it's so great to have some of these reality shows is because Hollywood can't muck it up. You know, they got to actually put on what actually happens, which means we can't play the race card, the gender card, the this card, the that card. You just get to watch what's happening. And the reality is so much different than the Hollywood spin. And so, too, was this Peter Strzok hearing. I'm telling you, I couldn't have had enough popcorn. I love the sweeties, sweet, salty stuff. It's really, really good. But I couldn't have had enough popcorn. Unfortunately, I had to drive up to Wyoming on that day. So all of a sudden, I got Sirius FM radio, a trial, just so I could hear the trial for the radio, so I could hear the conference, the hearing. And the funny thing was, hearing it and watching it were two entirely different things, just like the Nixon-Kennedy debates. It didn't change the outcome. It was both of them were entertaining. But of course, by now, you know that Peter Strzok was unbelievably smug and arrogant, and he's being called whatever the word is. I'm really running on fumes today. But he was unrepentant and smug, and the other word will come to me. Someone call me and you'll tell me what it is. It's only about a million people already used this word. Let's see. Limbaugh called it Strzok, stroke, smirk. That's it. I found it. You don't have to call now. Actually, you can always call if you want to. Smirk. The smirks on his face were pathetic, disgusting, and really endemic of the I know better than you attitude of some of these people in the deep state. But I have a couple of observations. All right. It is stunning to me that truth was on parade on that day. And yet you got to see just how intimidated and threatened and defensive the left was. You got to see alternate questions being asked by Democrats and Republicans. But there were some beauties. There were some beauties in this. Okay. So here's one of my favorites, and it's right at the beginning. It was said at the very beginning in Peter Strzok's opening statement, and I was screaming in my car, "What?" Okay, see if you can see why it is I was screaming in my car. Cut one.
Testify today with significant regret, recognizing that my texts have created confusion and caused pain for people I love. Not once in my 26 years of defending our nation did my personal opinions impact any official action I took.
Un-frickin' believable. So what he's saying there, if you didn't already get it, and supposedly everybody's moved on, but I just haven't moved on because it was too good a show. What he's saying there is that his texts created confusion, and the faux truth that he wants us to believe got obfuscated with that pesky little thing called the truth. So it reminds me a little bit of Mel Gibson, you know. Mel Gibson got drunk one day and started talking a lot of Jew hatred, a whole lot of Jew hatred. What did he do? When he became sober, he apologized for it and then blamed it on alcohol. Excuse me, but from everything I know about alcohol, it takes away your inhibitions and you get to find out the true thoughts and feelings of people and how they really think inside. We get to see how this person, I'm not really into calling names, but Peter Strzok really thinks of you and me. And so what he's trying to tell us now is that his texts of truth created confusion from the narrative he wants us to believe, which are all lies. I mean, need I say more? And this was great. This next clip reminded me so much of the Jack Nicholson movie. I'm having like Quarterzimer's today, I'm telling you. A Few Good Men, that's it. And that famous line, you can't handle the truth. But right before that, you get something real similar to this. And this is Trey Gowdy confronting Mr. Strzok with a little bit of his own truth. Cut two.
Your testimony is Bob Mueller did not kick you off because of the content of your text. He kicked you off because of some appearance that he was worried about. Sure.
I'm stating to you, it is not my understanding that he kicked me off because of any bias, that it was done based on the appearance. If you want to represent what you said accurately, I'm happy to answer that question, but I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed.
I don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. I don't appreciate having an FBI agent with an unprecedented level of animus working on two major investigations during 2016.
I love it. I love it. I don't give a damn. I remember the line, and I could have gotten it off the internet, but I just didn't want to. I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to. But I didn't want to use it because it would just muck things up. That's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, Trey Gowdy's had a couple of issues along the way. It hasn't been quite clear where he's coming from. But when he gets up as a prosecutor, oh my, my, wouldn't you like to see him as attorney general? I certainly would. I'm tempted to play it again, but I don't want to waste our valuable broadcast time. But go listen to it. It is beautiful. And break out the popcorn. I prefer sweet and salty. Okay, and the pièce de résistance. The really, oh my God, it was so good. I'm still applauding. Let's listen to Louis Gohmert in cut three.
And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder when I see you looking there with a little smirk How many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness
Mr. Chairman,
this is intolerable harassment of the witness.
What's wrong with that? You need your medication.
I have always told the truth.
You need your medication. Now, that is so priceless. I know I don't have to analyze it, but hell, I'm Jewish. I analyze everything. I just enjoyed this so, so much because there was Louis Gohmert once again telling the truth. And there were all the people, all Democrats, with this feigned moral outrage, saying, how dare you be so outrageous as to point out the truth that is all in front of us, right? It shame to shed light on shame, right? They're appalled that Gohmert pointed out the truth. God forbid you should embarrass an unrepentant person who clearly is unembarrassable. The Democrats are talented in turning the truth upside down. They bully others. They accuse everyone else of bullying. They're haters, but they accuse everyone else of hate. They dictate morality to others while trashing our culture. Now, this is the thing that really gets me. The feigned moral outrage by the party and the group that have done a bang up spectacular job of trashing our culture is just more than I can stand. That's why it's important to actually fight back, because if you allow this kind of turning the truth upside down, turning the truth on its head, either you'll die, you know, figuratively speaking, from the cognitive dissonance, or you'll become so apathetic that you'll be so depressed that you won't care if you die. I mean, and neither of those are good options, right? So we have to find ways of fighting back against this bastardization of the truth. So this outrage of shaming someone who dares to tell the truth about the fact that here's a guy, here's an FBI agent who has has been caught red-handed with the bias and with, I'm getting overwhelmed here. I've got a very important point to make. He gets caught with the bias, and yet it's the Democrats that try to shame the person pointing it out. Now, here's the thing that is sometimes gets lost, and I hope I didn't forget it because I get like five thoughts in my head at one time, and that's just not good. We have an FBI agent who, it isn't just that he was biased. This is a very important point. I've got pages and pages of notes on this. But what is most important, and I hope it comes out, is that it wasn't just a question of being biased in a case. What it was a question of is framing a president in order to create a case in the first place. Now, that's what I hope will actually come out. It isn't enough just to say he was biased. What really you got to get to is the fact that this entire charade was done to destroy Donald Trump, to spy on Donald Trump, to delegitimize the election of Donald Trump, and to make Donald Trump run away with his tail between his legs. What is so beautiful is they chose the wrong guy. Now, I have interviewed some never-Trumpers. I have. I interviewed one last week, and I'm going to interview one on Thursday. Oddly enough, it's the same person this time. It's Mona Sharon. And I hope to ask Mona Sharon, have you watched what they're doing to Donald Trump? Does it bother you at all what they're doing to him? And then the question has to remain, has to be asked, what is it about Donald Trump that is making them so crazy? Because he's very, very effective. He's more effective than any politician we've had in decades. I would argue he has been, in roughly 18 months, more effective than the acclaimed and excellent presidency of Ronald Reagan. This is a man who was never expected to be president and was exactly the kind of guy we needed for the times we're living in. But don't let me go down that rabbit hole or I'll never get out. What I want to mention is, wait a minute, do I have one more? Do I have one more clip here? FBI agent attacked by Trump. Okay, here's another thing about the bias before I leave this area. CNN, when I was watching the replays of the Strzok hearing, the headline under CNN was FBI agent attacked by Trump. Think about that. CNN, the most corrupt, lying, No, they would have to compete with MSNBC and the New York Times and all of the rest of them. Their headline, because they exist in airports where people only see the headline and they see nothing else. They don't know the story. They don't make it their business to look into the story. Says FBI agent attacked by Trump. And what is the truth? The exact opposite. The very exact opposite. Which is Trump is and has continued to be the victim in all of this. Whether you like him or you hate him, and I more than like him, I think he's a gift from God. Do I have to agree with him all the time? No. But considering how ineffectual, how pathetic our politicians have been, even Republicans, he's a gift from God. He is the very symbol of the capitalism, the excellence, the competition, all the things we say we believe in. Donald Trump is the epitome of all that and more. And furthermore, he doesn't really care what you think of him. How about that? He cares about America and about Americans. And he can't be bought. Those are the things you got to know about Donald Trump. And I feel as if I got him early on. I was frustrated. I was really frustrated that a lot of people, many of them my friends, many people I really respect, who didn't get him. Maybe because they lived in such a bubble. And to them, they had thought that politics is such a rarefied air that only certain people can breathe it. But in fact, so many people had lost their way. What is most disturbing to me is to watch fellow Republicans lose their lunches and their dinners and tomorrow's breakfast being outraged by Donald Trump when they never, ever, for a moment, were outraged by one of the greatest threats to this country and this republic that we've had perhaps since our founding. And that was the previous presidency. That previous presidency posed threats I don't know if this country has ever faced before. Now, ask a historic, you know, a true historian, which I am not, and they will tell you that I'm crazy. Of course, we've faced great threats, but not from inside the way this has been. And I'm not going to relitigate because it's never been litigated. The crimes, the high crimes and misdemeanors of the previous president, in my opinion, it needs to be litigated. And I've said for a long, long time, this entire scam of a Russian collusion hearing, and they keep calling it something different because none of it sticks to Trump, because none of it is true. All of it. All roads lead to Obama. All of them. They lead to Obama. That's part of who they're trying to protect. That's part of what they're trying to protect. And just think about it this way, and then I'll move on. If they are willing to show you this much corruption right out there where you can see it, just imagine what they are trying to protect. Okay, dramatic pause. Now, what I want to get to before we have to take a break, and I'll bring on our exalted, wonderful guest, Ted Harvey, is we're talking about fighting back. And I want to talk at some length, or as much as I've got until the break, about our new project called We Aren't Victims. We Aren't Victims. It's a hashtag. It is a movement. It's a fledgling movement, but it's a movement. And the great thing about social media is that you don't really have to have tons of money to put it out there, put up a hashtag, and start changing the narrative. Now, I've had for a long time, I've been watching this Me Too movement, and I've decided that it's one area in which I can apply my MSW from Columbia, go figure, and my interest in human relationships and pop culture and all the rest. It's of great concern to me that the Me Too movement, who we are not going to go after directly, because we agree absolutely without reservation that rape and sexual assault are crimes and deserve to be prosecuted within the full extent of the law. But when you start broadening the definition of rape and assault to include a guy who looks a girl up and down, maybe says an untoward comment, a boorish comment, makes an awkward pass, that this is now tantamount to sexual harassment and must be prosecuted, we've gone off the deep end. And like everything in today's political climate, people are going off the deep end with a political agenda in mind. And what really got me going, and I wrote two pieces in The American Thinker, which I strongly would invite you. How about that? A strong invitation to read. Because pretty much it encapsulates my thoughts about why the Me Too movement was exploited, if you will, to be used as a battering ram in the midterm elections and on into 2020, where they hope to get the biggest fish of all, which is Donald J. Trump. I'm never overly optimistic because I always try to be cautious, but I wanted to say, well, good luck with that. But they're never going to give up. Okay. And so when it comes to turning the so-called feminist movement upside down and on its head from I am woman, hear me roar, to I'm only a bird in a gilded cage, and I'm so pathetic and so helpless that I can't tell a guy to knock it off. It also bothers me greatly that this movement is being used to smear, emasculate, and weaken, which has been done for decades, men. I don't believe that this is done in a vacuum. I believe that men, heterosexual men, represent exactly what the left hates. Given that they are so socialist today, they represent the very best of masculinity, represents capitalism, resilience, protecting your family, self-defense, all the things the left hates. They want women to marry the government. They don't want women to marry men. But here's the movement, and I'm running out of time, and I want to keep talking about this because we need some help in this movement. We need to empower, there's a leftist term for you. We need to help conservative women to stand out front and proclaim to be the adults in the room on this subject. We Aren't Victims stands for a lot of things. It stands for waves. And in World War II, the waves were women accepted for volunteer emergency service. They were part of the Navy, and I love that acronym, Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service. And they were called upon by the Navy to help in the war effort. How cool is that? So today, we have a cultural emergency, and it's conservative women who are the ones that are needed to take the lead in restoring, I would say, cultural stability. Here's another great slogan. It's not a blue wave. It's a new wave. and how about wave if you're not a victim? So with movements like Walk Away, which is brilliant and wonderful, and I'm loving every minute of it, And I think Candace Owens is coming out with a hashtag of her own soon. It may be directed a little more to the Black community. All of these movements can stand alone, or they can combine together in truly changing these narratives the left is spewing into the culture. Now, here's real quickly the goal of the We Aren't Victims wave movement is to reach as many conservative women as possible using public speaking, social media, video, et cetera, and then urge and encourage all the rest of the women and men to get on board and start speaking out. So you need conservative women to step up to the plate. So please look at my two articles in American Thinker. Just go to AmericanThinker.com or my website, KarenCataline.com, under articles, and you'll find them. Or if you go to American Thinker, just put my name in the search box. And I'm just so delighted. There's two little blue links. Some people have 50. I have two. Before, I had one little blue link, and it was so lonely, I just had to write another article. Our message, we don't want to be characterized as victims. We don't expect to be believed or garner votes simply because we are women. We welcome the kind of accountability that only comes with adulthood. I love that. Because children are the ones we protect. But as far as women are concerned, we're accountable and we're adults. And we have laws against rape and sexual assault. As far as sexual harassment, that's a much more vague thing. Yeah, we have some laws against that too, but that starts to get muddy. And I think those definitions are starting to get overly broad. But that's for another show. Two more. We support due process in every case and on its own merits. And finally, we love strong men. Important. We love strong men. Strong men protect strong women. So it's an important way to fight back. And finally, we have a Facebook and a Twitter page, both of which you can go to, you can share, you can talk about, you can, you know, get involved in the We Aren't Victims hashtag. Or you can hashtag waves. It doesn't matter. But there is an actual Twitter account called We Aren't Victims. And I think it's important not to allow these narratives of man-hating and, oh, you know, masculinity is toxic, not to allow those narratives to stand, because it belittles and demeans men in a way that hurts all of us, men and women alike. I'm going to leave it there for now because I want to be able to take a break and bring on our illustrious guest, Ted Harvey. So please stay with us as we talk about the Committee to Defend the President here on Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And welcome back. I'm Karen Kettling, putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. And I am so delighted to have a friend and a fellow Coloradan, Ted Harvey, who is a former state legislature. That's state legislator from Colorado. In 2001, Ted was elected to the Colorado House of Representatives. And then he was also elected to the Colorado State Senate in 2006. But he hasn't let any grass grow under his feet. He started the Stop Hillary PAC. And wonder of wonders, he did stop Hillary. And he wasn't the only one. A lot of us did. Donald Trump did. And now he has a new organization, kind of part of the old one, called the Committee to Defend the President. Welcome, Ted Harvey, to Spouting Off.
Good afternoon. It's great to be on your show.
Well, I love having you. So tell us in a sort of a general fashion for everybody, tell us about the Committee to Defend the President and what you do and what your objective is.
Well, like you said, we were originally the Stop Hillary PAC. We started the Stop Hillary PAC before Hillary even got into the race because we knew that the Democrats were going to lie, cheat, and steal and do everything they possibly could to get Hillary Clinton across the finish line to be the first female president of the United States. Never, ever would I have guessed that it would that they would actually lie, cheat, and steal to the extent that they did. But they did, and thankfully the American people called her out on it, and Donald Trump rose up and was able to touch a chord with blue-collar America in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and states in the Rust Belt that have been literally devastated by the radical leftist policies of the last 30 years. And Donald Trump said enough is enough, and he was able to beat her, and the left came unhinged. And as we watched the Democrats and the left have a literal temper tantrum, and they still are to this day, the response that happened yesterday after the press conference just explains that perfectly.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That's going to be my next question.
We just we saw that. We're like, well, we can't allow this large organization that we have built over all these years to just go away because we were able to defeat Hillary. So we changed the name of the group to the Committee to Defend the President, and we have become the largest pro-Trump PAC in the country.
Wow.
We have 900,000 followers on our Facebook page. We have hundreds of thousands of people that are on our email list. We are the voice that if any media organization wants to get our side of the perspective, those that support Trump, they're contacting me and our organization. So we're on television and radio all across the country every day. And
yes, I saw you on Fox Business. You're everywhere, yeah. Ted Harvey.
Yes, I'll be on Fox Business on Thursday as well.
Wonderful.
But we're also raising a ton of money and getting involved in U.S. Senate races all across the country, because that is where the Trump agenda is being held up, is in the United States Senate. So we're going after those six states across the country that Trump won by 60% or more, where Democrats currently hold those seats. And if we can flip those seats, then we don't have to worry about the Democrats or John McCain or Jeff Flake or Corker holding up the Trump agenda. We can get it through. And honestly, I think we are going to do that. I think we'll hold the Senate. I think we'll have more Republican senators next time around. And we'll be able to replace Ginsburg with a solid conservative. I'm prophesying.
Well,
there.
No, but haven't you seen the Ted? Haven't you seen the weekend at Bernie's picture? I think I have it on my website. I think they're
exactly
going to try and keep her alive no matter what, even if it means freezing her and only letting her out on, you know, alternate Thursdays. I think they're going to do what they can to keep her alive no matter what.
That's exactly right.
Going to be interesting. Are you going after any...
holding out hope that she'll make it.
What's that?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, what was the last thing you said?
I just said I think she is holding out hope that she can stay in the court through the next 2.5 years. And I don't believe I believe Trump is going to win in 2020. And
Thank God.
He does, then she's going to be in really big problems, because she's 85 now. She'll be, you know, 86, 87 years old. 88 years old by then. So
you said stay in the court. I think the operative word is sleep in the court. But let's move on. I got a lot to ask you here. Are you going to go after any never Trumper type Republicans in the U.S. Senate?
Well, they're all leaving because they realized they couldn't win their seat again.
That's
Corker
true.
In Tennessee, we are spending.
Flaky Jeff.
We will probably be the number one pack outside of the campaign and to replace Corker with Blackburn. And
so
Jeff Flake, he's not running again in Arizona either. So those were the two huge never Trumpers that are up in this election cycle, and neither one of them are running because they know they couldn't win.
Boy, are you impressive, Ted Harvey. You never let grass grow under your feet. Now, it's so interesting that I'm sure it's only a coincidence, really, that the people who are screaming and yelling about Trump and being a traitor and treasonous just happen to be the same never Trumpers who have been screaming about his ice cream and, you know, what color shoes his wife wears. To them, it's kind of all the same thing. I'm speaking primarily of the Republican never Trumpers like Ben Sasse and these kind of people. Could you make a comment a little bit, or just talk a little bit about what did happen yesterday? Not only was it the media, but I guess a lot of the never Trumper Republicans got the same memo and were told what they were supposed to say in order to destroy a duly elected president.
Well, I think that Trump was put in a awkward position by the questions the media asked in a concerted effort to put him in an awkward position where no matter how he answered the question, he would be able to be jumped on. When they ask him straight up in front of the world, do you trust your intelligence community or do you trust Putin on saying that he wasn't involved in interfering in our elections? And if he would have said, yes, I think Russia was involved in our elections, what would the press have said then? That he is there to negotiate and then he's there and is undermining the negotiations. I think he was put in a situation where it didn't matter how he answered that question. But for the John McCains and the Lindsey Grahams and the Sasses of the world who have been working for decades in the U.S. Congress to be feigning such outrage that Russia was involved in our elections, when they have been actively funding the CIA and their covert efforts around the world to undermine elections in countries all over the world is hilarious to me.
Look at the elections they undermined in Israel.
That's
Barack
exactly
Obama.
Right. Under Obama.
He tried really hard to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu, and let's not talk about that Pope. I don't know, but something was going on there. It's not an election,
and look at Brexit. The Obama administration was actively involved in the Brexit vote.
Actively involved. But of course, none of the left's laws, ideas, or outrages ever apply to themselves. Let me ask you about, there were two polls that came out a couple weeks ago that I thought were so telling, depressing in one way, but also just incredibly clear. It had a lot to do with how many people on the Democrat side are actually proud of our country. And the numbers were astounding. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was really, just as people think, it's roughly 50-50. The one that I thought was even more so, if you combine the two together, 49% of people polled think Trump actually is a racist. They actually think that because that's what the media has told them. So our theme today is fighting back, fighting back. How do you fight back? The one that I have continually asked a lot of people is, what do you think is the most effective way to fight back against someone who calls you a racist? Because they call everybody a racist. That they don't.
You cannot
that they don't
say, think. No, I'm not. Because
no,
you
can't
are,
say that.
You are essentially acknowledging their comment. And I personally would say you're a racist.
I like that. And then what
and
they
stop
say,
right
well,
there. Stop right good. There. Put them on their feet. And they would say, how can you say that? What do you mean I'm a racist? I'm not a racist. And yeah. I would say, yes, you are.
And then what?
Then yes, what you are. Say? Yes, you are. You're a racist.
Uh-huh.
Because they want us to be on the defensive.
Right.
Our position is righteous. Our position is we want to defend our sovereign borders. We want to defend our streets from criminals that are coming across the border to do harm to U.S. citizens. We are wanting to promote prosperity for all citizens of all colors, stripes, through the capitalist system. They think that we have to manipulate the market in order to promote individual classes of people and skin colors. And I don't believe that. I look at what has happened over the last 16 months since Trump has been in office. African-American unemployment is at its lowest level. Hispanic unemployment is at its lowest level. Female unemployment is at its lowest level. I don't care what socioeconomic group you want to look at. All boats are rising because of the capitalist philosophy that the Trump administration has brought into place. And I think you're seeing that in the polls when you're seeing African-American support for Trump go from historically, you know, about 8% for Republicans, and now you have African American males voting at 15%. If that continues through 2020, there is no way the Democrats can win an election.
God willing, we hope it's true. The dirty little secret, my friend Ted Harvey, is when Democrats feign concern that there are high black unemployment rates and that there are high Hispanic and female unemployment rates. The truth of the matter is the Democrats never really cared about unemployment. They just didn't want them to bite them in the butt during election season because they would prefer people be dependent on the government. Isn't that right?
That's right. I mean, you look at the food stamp rolls, they are plummeting to 30-year lows. That is not good for the party of big government to have the food stamp rolls being where people are not dependent on the programs that the Democrat Party has grown their voter base off of. The Trump administration is going to change the entire electoral block that the Democrats have had for 60 years. And 2020 is going to be an interesting election cycle.
Ted, I'm right then in my first half monologue. I said Trump is a gift from God, and you have not contradicted that position, because I do believe he is. You said something in your little speech there a bit ago that really perked up my ears in particular. You said, always put us on the defensive. Now, in keeping with our theme of fighting back, I think it has been just the bane of our existence as Republicans, conservatives, whatever name you want to give us,
Republicans,
that they never, ever fight back. If they fight back at all, it is against one another. But they don't fight back.
Conservatives do fight back.
What's that? Yeah, they fight against each other. Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
Well, you look at who I believe an incredible individual, a incredible family man, successful businessman, a great conservative. Oh. You'll laugh at me when I say this.
I'm going
Mitt
to.
Mitt Romney.
I knew you Mitt were going to say that. I'll fight you on
that one. He is the nicest person you can possibly meet, but he allowed himself to be defined as this out of touch, rich white guy for 9 months and never fought back, never opened his mouth for that matter, and allowed the narrative to be set in stone. So then when he actually got into the race and decided to be a candidate and campaign as opposed to fake it, the narrative had already been written, and there's no way he could turn the corner. And that was the same thing with George W. Bush.
Let's go back to Mitt Romney for a minute, Ted, because you made my day. You know, I agree with you so much of the time, and I know there are things about which we disagree, but I agree with you so much of the time. When you give me something that I disagree with, I've got to pounce on it because it's so much fun to argue sometimes. Whenever anybody says that Mitt Romney is such a nice guy, I have to stand up and say, not even in your best dream is he a nice guy. We got to see who Mitt Romney really was when he went after Donald Trump in the primary. This was a man who no holds barred. So for Mitt Romney, Obama was someone that was just a good guy that you dare not criticize. But look at what he did to Donald Trump.
Yep. And look what the Bushes are doing to Donald Trump.
Wait. Same thing. These are not nice people. As far as I'm concerned, the Bushes are only one step above the Clintons. They're all globalists. They're all elitists. And believe me, and I've said this before, my listeners have heard me say this before, the problem that the Romneys and the Bushes and the McCains have with Donald Trump is not his style. It's because Donald Trump represents a cleaning of house. Donald Trump represents the threat that they will be exposed for the corrupt, globalist, white-collar people they are. Okay? That's what is their rice bowls.
It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that.
Tell me.
But my point is, when it comes to fighting back,
yes,
they got into the fetal position and just allowed the media and the left to beat the crap out of them. The reason why the left is freaking out is because every time they come after Donald Trump, whether it was in the primaries, whether it was in the general election, or whether it's when he's in the presidency, he immediately swings back. He immediately punches right back in the nose and comes back again with the right hook. They don't know how to handle it when their playbook that they've been utilizing to shame and to manipulate, you know, pussy-whipped Republican candidates for the last 60 years, they don't know how to handle it when that playbook doesn't work anymore, when they have a strong alpha male Republican that's going to hit back. And so now Donald Trump is winning, and it's not just winning politically and with each punch. He is winning with policies. All of his policies, free market policies, immigration policies, international affairs policies, they are all winning, and the Democrats have lost all of their ammunition because Trump is fighting back every turn.
You're such a good, you're good for what ails us, Ted Harvey, because I couldn't agree more, and I'm just enjoying every minute of it. Are there challenges? Sure. But when you've got somebody who is a fighter and who's showing mealy-mouthed Republicans how to fight back, and you see the ones who do and the ones who don't and the ones who fight against Donald Trump, he is the turn-the-tables president. He's the guy that has exposed the phony in our political system. He's exposed the lies that have been lurking in the swamp. Ted Harvey, tell us more about your organization in our few minutes left, how people can get involved, how they can give money, how they can watch you on all the many Fox News stations.
Well, thank you for teeing it up for me. I appreciate it. Again, the name of our PAC is the Committee to Defend the President PAC, and you can go online to committeetodefendthepresident.com, and you can see the commercials that we've been running around the country in support of various candidates. You can see the ads that we've been doing, but more importantly, you can go to our donation page and help us. We are putting in place campaigns in these six states across the country to really go after these Democrats and to take over these seats that we need to pick up even to expand our majority in the Senate. We're also very aggressively involved in the Blackburn race down in Tennessee, where Corker, who is the incumbent Republican, never Trumper, who's not running, we are at a neck-and-neck race down there. So not only do we need to pick up these six Senate races, but we need to hold this Tennessee race. So we're very actively involved in that race. So this is not cheap. It's going to cost a lot of money. And any of your listeners that can help us out, we would much appreciate it. And also go to our Facebook page. You can follow everything that we're doing on across the country, but on Facebook.
Okay, say that address again for the Facebook page. For everybody.
Committee to Defend the President on Facebook, and defend_Trump on Twitter.
That is wonderful. You're doing spectacular work. If you want to be optimistic, if you want to get involved, if you want to help Trump complete, go forward in his agenda, this is the guy that can help you do it. Thank you for being with us, Ted Harvey. Always a pleasure to have with you. Thanks for coming on. And
thank
for everyone
you for having
else,
me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And for everyone else, if you want to follow me, you can go to my website. You can find 41 podcasts of Spouting Off now once this one goes up. And the website is www.karencataline.com, spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E, that last name. And of course, that's why you're listening, because you know that. Some people, they don't know how to spell it. Facebook, Karen Cataline. Twitter, at Karen Cataline, all the same name. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.